Chapter number 4. Colossians chapter number 4, I'm going to begin reading with the very first verse. It's good to have you with us today. Masters, give unto your servants that which is just and equal, knowing that ye also have a master in heaven. Continue in prayer, and watch in the same with thanksgiving. With all praying also for us, that God will open unto us a door of utterance, to speak the mystery of Christ, which I am also in bonds, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. Walk in wisdom towards them that are without, redeeming the time. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how ye ought to answer every man. In other words, God, just help us to live the way you want us to live. Say what you want us to say. Searching out the scriptures, and I found that history tells us that Paul wrote the letter to the Ephesians and to the Colossians and to Philemon all about the same time while he was in prison in Rome. And when he completed writing these three, he sent them by the hand of his friend Epaphras to deliver them, to bring them to the various places. And in Scofield's notes, this letter to the Colossians that I've read, a portion of Scripture, is divided into 7 different divisions, and the one which the 6th chapter falls within is headed Christian Living, the Fruit of Union with Christ. In other words, you're saying how Christians are to live in fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me just say one thing from the Sunday school lesson. There is no fellowship with the Lord unless you're saved. Aren't you glad he saves? Hallelujah, hallelujah. And then the 5th verse, in talking to believers, Ephesus and Colossians, to the Colossians and to Philemon and to us, he said, walk in wisdom toward those that are without. And so I would like to begin by saying, this is an important Bible truth that is mentioned here, telling us the population of the world, everyone of the world is made up of either one or two categories, as it relates to serving God, or loving God, or living for God, either we are within, or we are without. Let me say that again. Everyone, whatever our race, whatever our background, whatever our nationality, whatever our upbringing, whatever our religious thinking might be, everyone is in either one of the other categories, either within or without. Before I begin to preach, I want to take a moment right now. I'm glad I was invited to come in. Amen, amen. Everyone is either a believer in Christ or a non-believer. Everyone is a Christian having accepted Christ or a non-Christian. Everyone is saved or unsaved. Everyone is ready for heaven or not ready for heaven. Everyone is within or without. This morning I've come with some good news. I've read the Bible through. Jesus, the Christ of glory. Jesus, the only begotten of the Father. Jesus, the Son of God, died for the sins of the world. He died for mine. It's a Sunday morning service. Sometimes we don't have very many, maybe none at some time that are unsaved. And some people might say, Brother Jones, why preach along this line? Aren't you glad you're no longer without? We were singing a while ago about shouting and rejoicing. Don't wait till you get to heaven to get started. We've got something to shout about now. Hallelujah, hallelujah. If you're saved this morning, if you're a child of God right now, you've got something to rejoice about. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Psalm chapter 1, it's a familiar psalm to many. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. And it goes right on down, the godly and the ungodly. And it's the picture. The psalm is called the Psalm of Two Ways. And I thought it fit right for what I'm saying today. The Psalm of Two Ways, either godly or ungodly, either within or without. Thank God, thank God. The good news today is this. The lost can be found. Those that are in sin can be forgiven. Those that are walking in darkness can come into the light. Those that are unsaved can be saved. Thank God, thank God, thank God. Those that are without can come in. I'm glad that I came in. I mentioned in the Sunday school class this morning, just came to me at that time. I thank God for February. My wife and I got married in February. We got saved in February. This church was started in February. We might be called out in February. Amen. Thank God, thank God, thank God. The tragedy this morning is after 2,000 years of the gospel being preached, then this is the greatest word in all the world. There's nothing like the gospel. But 2,000 years of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ being preached around the world. So many out there, yet the majority of the peoples are still lost. The majority of the people are still without hope. The majorities of the people are still living in sin. They're on the other side without. Before I go any further, and I'm going to take a moment of time for me and maybe for you as well, I thank God for His mercy. I thank God today for His saving grace. You say, Brother Jones, you've said that over and over again. It never gets old to me. I thank God this morning for the redeeming blood of the Lamb, the Lord Jesus. I thank God. I've often thought of Danny and Carol and how they've adopted Kirk and how they have two foster sons in the home and they're trying their best to be good parents. And I really believe they're doing a good job in so many ways in parenting. But I thought it takes something to be an adopted parent, to take in children that's been raised or taught from Philadelphia Post, take them in and try to help them along the way. That really takes something. But thank God this morning, I've been adopted into the family of the Almighty God. I'm glad that God is an adopted parent. He adopted me. Thank the Lord, thank the Lord. I was headed for eternity unprepared. I was lost in sin. I was one of those without. But He invited me to come in, and I say, thank God. This morning, I'm on the inside. Amen. Amen. And I thank God. If that's your testimony, you have something to shout about. You have something to rejoice about. Well, right into the Ephesians, Paul gave a picture of what we were like and what they were like, the Gentiles of that day, before they got saved. I'm going to read that verse. It says, at that time, ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world. As I was reading that and preparing the sermon and praying along with it, I thought that is not a whole lot to rejoice about. That's not a whole lot to be proud of when you find out that you were without Christ, aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and all the promises that God had given to Abraham's seed, that you were left out and you had no hope and without God. And as I was reading the chapter number 4 of Colossians, I found that there were six things which Christians had gained by getting saved. And I want to preach of those six things this morning. Keep this in mind. I want you to see it, have it in your mind all the time. Those within, those without. I'm not dividing this out here. I'm just using that up here as an illustration. On one side, those within. On the other side, those without. And everyone in the land, everywhere, falls in one category or the other, within and out. What have we gained? What have we gained by becoming a child of God? What are the blessings? What is it that you have has changed at all? Has anything changed? What have we gained? The world thinks that we are foolish. You've lost out on the good things, and we think they're foolish. We've gained the good things. What have we gained? Is the thought in the 6th chapter of the book of Colossians. In the first verse, let me start by saying this. Those that are saved by grace, we've gained heaven. Won't you mark that down? We have gained heaven. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. I'm a stranger and pilgrim on my way to that land. I have gained heaven. Now, let me make it as plain as I can. I've never been there. I've heard some people talk about it. I've preached about it. I've read about it. I've even read some books of some people, a testimony of some people that said they died and went to heaven and came back. I'm going to leave that between them and God. I'm not here to verify any of that, but I'll leave that between them and God. There's one thing I do know. The Bible is true. And what the Bible says about heaven is going to come to pass. Brother, it's going to be better than we even realize. We have gained heaven by accepting Christ as our Savior. And it's not that way with the unsaved. They are without heaven. I thought about the time of Noah and the flood, and when the waters began to rise and the rain began to come down, and Noah and his family were on the inside and the door was shut by God and no one else could get in, how that those on the outside were lost forever. How about the mercies of God? How about the love of God? If they knocked on the side of that door of the ark, wouldn't the Lord let them in? He's a merciful God. Sometimes God's mercy runs out. And he says, that's enough. And they're left without. And so I'm going to... Two thoughts right here. If I were living in that day, some 1,700 years after Adam, I can't think of anything worse than to be left outside and not able to get in the ark, knowing that all outside would perish. What a thought. I mentioned the latest trio that sang in our church in the early 40s, probably 1940. They were from Greenville, South Carolina. They were all sisters. And it so happened that their other sister played the piano played the violin in our church orchestra, the pastor's wife. The name of those three ladies were Lula, Lena, and Lamar. I remember them singing. We had a revival. We had a tent revival in Newport News. And our pastor was preaching it. And I remember these three sisters singing, and they harmonized, and it was beautiful. And isn't it amazing? Some things you can remember, and some things they slip by right up so quickly. I remember Lula, Lena, and Lamar singing, standing outside the portals. Standing outside tonight. Oh, what an awful picture. Standing outside. As a young boy, probably 9 or 10, along that line from whatever time it was in the late 39, 30s, or 40, early 40s, whenever it was, those words stayed with me. They were singing, that was part of the words of the chorus. Oh, what an awful picture. Standing outside the portals. Standing outside tonight. Oh, what an awful picture. Standing outside as a young boy, all I could think about was being left out. Being left out. Outside, maybe outside when the Lord... I've heard about the coming of the Lord all my life. Our preachers preached it when I was a boy. My thoughts was, how tragic, how terrible to be left outside. How terrible to be left behind. How terrible to be lost in that day. I'm glad this morning I can tell you I'm no longer outside. I'm a part of the family of God. I've been redeemed by the blood. I've got something to rejoice about. Hallelujah. I realize time is running out. And we're nearing the end of the journey. But I'm excited today because I know that my name is written down in glory. I'm no longer outside. He said, come on in. Hallelujah. 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 I mentioned Ben Weeks' grandfather. He was a tenant farmer on my grandfather's farm in North Carolina. When we would get together, have those big reunion meals out there under the oak trees, and they'd have tables and food. By the time we were eating, about maybe halfway through, Brother George Weeks, Ben's grandfather, would come by. My grandfather said, George, Brother George, come on and eat with us. No, I don't believe it will. I've already had something at home. He'll stand around and talk. I believe I will have one of those roast ears. Some of that corn on the cob. I can remember, I'm not going to try to imitate how I said it because he had a way of saying it that I can't say it that way, but it was that way with me, in a sense. Jesus has the table spread, and I was standing outside.
He said, "Glenn, why don't you come on and eat?" And for a long time, I said, no. I'm glad this morning I can tell you. I'm glad he invited me one more time. Come to the table. Come and feast at the table of the Lord. Number one, what you gained when you got saved? You gained heaven. Take this whole world, but give me Jesus. Take all the world has over. Heaven's going to be with it all. Hallelujah. Number two, found in the Scriptures in the 6th chapter, in verse number 3, the Bible says the unsaved are without God. I'm glad I can tell you that when I got saved, I gained God. I gained a Heavenly Father. I was a servant of the enemy. I was a servant of Satan. I was a child of the devil, the Bible says. But when I got saved, I gained God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. A majority of this world today are still without God. Think about it, if you will. God created man. He breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. He made man in his own image. He loves all of mankind. He gave his Son to die for all the world. And now he's a wonderful God. And yet the majority of the people are still without God. Still without God. First of all, we gained heaven. That's more than we can even begin to imagine. Secondly, we gained God. There was a time growing up, my daddy was a disciplinarian, and he was a very, disciplinarian, that he was tender. He could spank us and cry at the same time. Sometimes he cried before we cried. I couldn't understand it. But when you become a parent and you do the discipline, you understand it. And sometimes as a boy, I thought my daddy didn't love me. He didn't love brother. He didn't love me. He didn't love Ross. Didn't love Gene. If he loved us, he wouldn't work on us so much. But I found out when I became a father, he loved me more than I could realize. Sometimes even as a boy, I had ill feelings towards my dad because I thought he didn't abuse us. He didn't mistreat us. He loved us. But I thought, as a young boy, I thought I had some feelings about him. But let me tell you something today about my father. The feelings I have for my father in glory. When he disciplines, it's with love. Whatever he does it for our good. For his glory. I'm glad I can say today, he's my father. Our Father which art in heaven. Hallowed be thy name. Sometimes we might pray and don't even realize what we're saying. He's our Father. We honor him. We thank him. I remember the night that I was called by my sister-in-law, and we went to the hospital. My dad had been healthy, had been doing well. But they took him to the hospital, and when we arrived, Mike and myself, my dad had passed away. And I remember Mike standing there, put his hands on my daddy's shoulder, lying there in the bed. Tears welled up in his eyes, and we didn't have a whole lot to say, but I'd lost the father, and he had lost the grandfather. But when I got saved, I have a father that is eternal. Hallelujah, hallelujah. What did I gain when I got saved? I gained a father that loves me, that disciplines me, and loves me so much that even in the midst of discipline, it's love. What a Savior, what a mighty God. I went on in that same chapter, and the Bible says that those that are without, and that they're without Christ. And I thought, yes, when I got saved, I gained the Lord Jesus. I lived my life up until that time, most of that my life up in that time without him. That night when my wife and I went to the altar and Christ came into our hearts and lives, we gained Christ. Jesus said in the 14th chapter, he's the Christ, he's the anointed one. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. I'm glad that I gained Christ. Hallelujah. The invitation is extended to everyone, and yet so many rejected it. So many cast it aside. So many don't want anything to do with the Lord. But in the 10th chapter of John, he said, I am the door.
I am the door. If any man enter in, he shall be saved. That he said, if any man will come to the door, come to me, Jesus said, he will enter in and he will be saved. I want to leave this with you today. I gained heaven. I gained a heavenly Father. I gained Jesus as my brother. Brother, I'm somebody today. I'm in the family of Almighty God. I'm proud of the Jones family, 6 children. Catherine, brother, me, Royce, Gene, and Pete. We had a good family. We enjoyed growing up together, 5 of us children growing up together. A lot of things going on. But brother, when I got saved, look at the family I have now. Thank God. I gained a father. I gained Jesus as my elder brother. And I'm a joint heir with him. I've often thought about my daddy worked hard. I'm using a lot of personal illustration, but my daddy worked hard and they didn't waste money. They didn't go on vacations. He sent mom and the children to Carolina for a couple of weeks in the summertime, but my daddy didn't take off. He worked hard to earn a living for the family, to raise a family during the war and all the other time. But I thought when he came down and my mother passed away and daddy came down to time of his death, he's getting up in age, how that what he had, and he said, I'm divided with my children and whatever. It wasn't a whole lot that he had left, but he had worked it hard and he had lived a frugal life and everything was above board and he loved God. He might not have thought he left very much, but he left us an inheritance that was a whole lot better than money. Amen. Can you understand what I've said? We gained heaven. We gained a father. We gain the Lord Jesus Christ into our hearts and lives. The unsaved, the Bible tells me, are without Christ. Number 4 in the 12th verse. The unsaved are without the will of God. They know nothing of the will of God. God's will in their lives. I'm going to mention 3 New Testament writers, what they said about the will of God. Let me stop right here. Listen closely to what I say now. As a Christian, one of the most important things you can know is the will of God. This church is praying for the will of God concerning a pastor. That's important. The best preacher in the land would never fit in this pulpit if it wasn't the will of God. But whoever it might be, if it's in the will of God, that's what we want. Because it'll work out. Here in the Scripture, without the will of God, 3 New Testament writers, Paul, when he was writing to Timothy, said, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth? That's God's will. Peter said, the Lord is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That's God's will. John said, for God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. That's God's will. Every time I preach of salvation, every time I preach about loving and serving God, every time we have prayer and we pray for our loved ones and our family members and others to be saved, that's God's will. Hallelujah, hallelujah. And when you got saved, you gained the will of God. You began to have the will of God in your life. You did not know the will of God outside of the Lord. Those that are without today, do not know the will of God. So many of them about what God would happen. And so many have known the will of God but refused to obey it. The unsaved are living outside the will of God. The 5th thing that I mention is they're without the church according to the 15th and 16th verses. They're without the church. Now, this is important. People go to church. There's folks in church this Sunday morning on this peninsula. They're faithful. They support the church. They're members of the church. They are working, no doubt, in the church. And yet, on the outside, by being a part of a local church, is not what I'm preaching about. We have gained a church. We are part of the church of the living God. I'm not talking about a denomination. I'm talking about when I got saved and you got saved, we became a part of the church. Thank God. What is the benefit of a church? Some have asked. What is even the benefit of being a member of the church? Some have asked.
We are the church of the family of God. Your problems are my problems. Your victories are my victories. Your rejoicing is my rejoicing. We are one. And that only happened because we got saved. And we're part of the church. Being in the ministry over 50 years, one of the saddest things that's ever happened in my ministry, one of the saddest, as far as the ministry is concerned, is to be called upon to preach a funeral for someone who had no pastor and no church. What is the benefit? Fellowship. Labor together with the Lord, the Bible says. Enjoy one another. Thank God for friends. Thank God for people that know how to pray. Yesterday morning in the altar and out there in the pews as we were praying at prayer time. Yesterday morning at 8:30. Thank God for people when you make a request they know how to pray. Amen. Thank God for the church. We've gained the church. We've gained heaven. We've gained the Heavenly Father. We've gained the elder brother, Lord Jesus Christ. We've gained the will of God. And now we're part of the church of the living God. Thank the Lord, thank the Lord, thank the Lord. But lastly, we've gained grace. Grace. The unmerited favor of the Almighty God. I'm going to leave it with thee this way and we're going to pray. Grace is a gift. It's abundance. A lot to go around. It's sufficient. Grace is a gift. All we have to do is receive it. When I was preparing the sermon, I thought of the commercial, Nutrisystem. I can't remember Bradshaw's first name. What is it? Terry Bradshaw, a football player that's retired. If you've ever seen that commercial, he's not the most beautiful, handsome man in town. And he was putting on a lot of weight, and he got on Nutrisystem and said, I lost 32 pounds. Now look at me. Ain't I pretty? But this is what he said that caught my attention for the sermon, for the closing out. He said, in the system you get 5 good meals a day. Tasty meals. And then he said these words, and all you got to do is eat them. And that's the grace of God. All you got to do is receive it. Aren't you glad this morning for the Lord? Aren't you glad that you're on the inside? Think about it today. Think about it in your own family. I'll stop right now. Think about your family members. Your family members that are on the outside. They're part of those in that first, in the fifth verse, without. How many of your family, how many of our family members are still without? And you were as well, Paul said. And I was as well. We were all without. No hope. Lost and undone. But Jesus came along and said, you don't need to stay out any longer. Come on in. Aren't you glad you came in? Hallelujah, hallelujah. I'll tell you what I feel like doing today. As the saints of God, maybe everyone here right now is a Christian. That's between you and God. But I would like for my wife to come to PL and I want us to take some time. I don't think we take enough time. I don't think we get earnest enough in our worship. I don't mean seeking God for some blessing. I'm talking about thanking God for what He's done. For praising Him. For worshiping Him. How long has it been since you lifted up your hands and all of a sudden tears began to run down your cheeks because you're thinking about, I'm saved, I'm saved. I'm a child of the King. I've gained heaven, amen. We're on our way to glory. Brother, there's something to shout about. How long has it been? How long has it been since God began to stir your heart to say, thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me such great salvation, so rich and so free. I was headed for hell. You were headed for hell. But because of His mercy, we're within today. We're saved today. Brother, I don't know how to say it, and I don't feel like we needed someone to lead us along the lines. I wanted to come right out of the hall. Come on to the piano, honey. Sing, I will serve thee because I love thee. I wanted today to come right out of the depths of your heart. We were headed for hell. We were standing at the very precipice of hell. And Jesus rescued us. If I could get a picture of that, and you could get a picture of that this morning. Now we've got heaven awaiting us. That'll be enough for the rest of the day to shout about and rejoice about. Will you stand with me?